You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we are once again back at the IDW booth. We have an awesome guest for you today. We are talking to AJ Locascio.
Hey.
You said it right.
I did.
Yeah, we nailed it.
You could see the fear in my eyes.
I know.
Eyes,
I
right?
saw yeah, the yes. light leave you. Yeah. We've always said it right. No always. Questions. No notes on that.
You have an amazing book called Spoops, which is out now from Top Shelf that we're going to talk about in a second, but I do want to ask you, and not, I know you get asked about this all the time, but the Marvel Animation Panel was just upstairs here at
Did
New
they
York
announce
Company.
Anything?
They
yes.
did.
Oh.
X-Men 97 is summer.
Okay.
Next summer.
You're telling me this for the first time.
I like that.
Yeah,
first
yeah, I'm like, what news is there from the north? Yeah.
And season three has been picked up as well. Gambit died, of course, so this must be a real bummer for you not coming back.
Yes. I still keep hoping. I was like, what news is there?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to find out, like everyone else, what's going on. But
yes.
I'm just happy to see the show is doing well and is out there, and yeah. I'm excited like everyone else.
I feel like people still talk about that first season, especially Gambit, being like an emotional moment in their lives.
Yeah, I hear it all the time, which is great. But like the amount of people that come up to me crying is telling me that they've cried is it's a lot.
When they see you, when you don't appear in the show and they start crying just for,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, I was over at, there was a booth right there, Figpin, and people, there was just a line of people like, you made me cry so much. Or people that will just start crying and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't write it.
Does it feel bad? Like, are you proud? Or is that, it feels,
I mean,
like it's actually,
it's confusing.
It's getting you. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to feel. I honestly feel a little like, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I would not have written that if it was up for me.
I think
me.
People want you to apologize.
I do feel like I have to apologize.
That's,
I'm like,
really nice.
I didn't do this.
Well, it's an interesting thing, I think, particularly for animation voice actors, because like, for you, it's a much smaller period of time
right.
than the actual process of the animation. I mean, obviously, I don't know how long it takes, but you're coming in and you're going, remember it. And they're like, great.
yeah, and then you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, I recorded that like 3 years ago now at this point, too. So
that's
maybe
so crazy.
Longer. And so it's a thing that I had to just keep a secret for forever. And that's just kind of how animation goes. So you can't trust any of us. We all are full of secrets.
Yeah, no, it's true. You have secrets now. We know you do. When you were recording it, did you feel like it was going to be such an emotional...
No, bomb? Not at all.
Oh, that's really
I
funny.
I didn't know what to think that was going to be. I didn't know... Well, also, you can't... I couldn't visualize
of
what
course.
That any of that... Not until I saw the scene did I go, oh, my God, that's a big deal. Because we got to do the scene where he gets skewered over and over and over again. And I was looking at it and following the animation and...
Because they have an animatic playing or something like
that? So they had an animatic and then the final animation. So what you see on screen, they just were, you know, they'd loop that over and over again for me to do the efforts.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, that's violent.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, but it, that was so long before the show came out. Because there was also some stuff like where, as far as I understand, scheduling, because you want to make sure you space things out. Like, oh, this movie's coming out. So something might just be in a holding pattern for
right.
however long until it gets its window. But, yeah, it was a long process.
I wanted wow. to ask you about something else, actually, about this. I swear we were going to get to Spoops.
That's fine.
Since the show blew up, every con that I've been at, there's a row of X-Men 97 people, very specifically, sometimes you, sometimes a lot
They're
of
all
other
over there.
They're
I actually there. Was yeah. too tired to do it this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been kind of stunning to see, like, it take over an entire row of Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
What's that experience been like?
It's surreal. I mean, especially since I grew up loving the original show, and now I'm friends with all the original cast.
Yeah, right.
And it's really, really weird to get texts from them, and, like, it's... surreal is the only real way I can put it, but it is also overwhelming. Like, we're... There's no part of my brain that's able to understand it. It still feels like fan fiction or play or like, oh, I'm just pretending. I mean, because ultimately we all are. But the fact that I do have real relationships with these people is real. And it's really incredible. I mean, I'm so... I wish I could go back in time and tell my younger self. They'd freak out.
You'll hang with this group.
Yeah, I know. It'd be crazy.
I did just notice your phone case.
Oh, yeah. I forget. Yeah, it's the VHS cover that was, I think, the Pizza Hut. I mean, it's Night of the Sentinels, but
yeah.
It used to just be Gambit's 266, and I had that before... I was Gambit.
Wow.
I just really like Gambit.
Okay. Yeah. That feels like a stretch.
No. So the second New York Comic Con, I showed up dressed like Gambit. So that was like 16, 17 years ago.
That's crazy.
So yeah. I'm a lifelong Gambit fan.
So you're
fan.
A lifelong Gambit fan
oh, yeah.
that ended up getting the Gambit role.
I don't know. I was afraid for that. When I went to the audition, I hid my phone. I was because I will often put my phone down and yes. facing up. So that it's not buzzing or anything. And I made sure to hide my phone so they didn't see it was the first issue of Gambit. Because I was embarrassed. And then when I got the show, I changed it to this cover.
You're like a little more subtle.
Yeah. Just like it's not, got everyone, not just Gambit.
A lot of actors buy a phone case for every role that they audition for to really yeah. make the extra case in the room.
That's you know, I did the opposite. I hid it from them until I had recorded like two or three.
Then
so.
You, like a magic trick, you were like, aha!
Yeah. I was like, guys, I didn't want to tell you this. I still have the phone case. It's broken, but like, I was like, this feels important.
Yeah. Hold on to that.
There is a tease at the end of season one that Gambit might return in some new form. Obviously, wink, wink, you don't know anything, but if he was to return, I assume that would be exciting for you
to
come
back. I'm ready. Let me know. Let me in, coach.
Nice.
I would love that. I love the crew. I love everyone on the team, and I would be thrilled to be any part of it. You know, it's funny. I was going to say, like, I'd be happy to just show up as, like, some background guy. And it's like, no, I just want to be Gambit.
Yeah.
but we'll see. I'll find out with everyone else. So I'm excited to...
Exciting. Well, yeah. We will tell you the news when we hear about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Upstairs,
next time.
Right. And just last voice acting question I wanted to ask you. You also do the role of Gizmo.
Yes.
Do you only get G name yeah. roles?
You're a G-man.
Yeah. It's funny, when I sign Gizmo, I will often write Gambit by accident. So it has happened quite
like,
a few
the?
Times where I'm like, I'm so sorry, because yeah. it's G and then...
cross
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, you also get...
Do you ever do Gizmo with the Cajun accent?
I have... A couple people have asked, Mosha! It's hard to do, with especially my voice is shot from talking all weekend.
Yes.
But,
Gambit! This is the mashup we've been waiting
yeah.
for.
A couple people have requested. Someone drew a picture of Gizmo as Gambit. That was really cute.
Oh, that's amazing.
Are you going to tell me you're a big Cajun Gizmo fan from back in the day?
Okay, no. It's funny. I actually was a big... It was definitely because of Gambit. Like, Cajun food's my favorite.
Oh, hilarious.
And so I was always looking for gumbo and jambalaya and beignets as a kid. But that was inspired by Gambit. Gizmo I was a fan of, but not anywhere near the Gambit
right.
thing.
It's yeah. Your yeah. phone is making the case for
I
you.
I flip it over and it's another...
yeah. Whoa,
it's another, it's a Gizmo?
Yeah. yeah.
I've got your podcast logo on it.
Like, man,
I've been following you guys since 1991.
Let's talk about the gremlins, the little gremlins that you created.
Oh,
yes.
That was a chunky segue, but I'll take it.
Bad. Yeah.
We'll fix it
I'll
later.
That's
it's
okay.
Terrible. Yeah, we'll fix it.
We'll fix all this stuff.
Spoops is great. I know you've talked about it ad nauseum at this point, but for any of our listeners who don't know, it has a really interesting origin story that
yeah.
you were crafting sculptures now it's a children's book.
Yeah, it's kind of backwards. I mean, I was just making... I really wanted to make Halloween decorations, and I couldn't... Didn't have the room, couldn't afford it, and so I made little sculptures for my desk, and just kind of... They just lived there. And then when the show Voltron Legendary Defender blew up, people started combing through my Instagram, and they saw those sculptures from, like, I don't know, a year or two before, and they were like, where do I buy these? And I was like, you don't? And I was trying to encourage, honestly, people in the beginning to make their own.
Right.
And they weren't having it. So I wound up learning how to cast and sculpt. Or I knew how to sculpt, but learning how to cast them. And, you know, and then sold a couple, and then sold a couple more, and it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And so eventually people started asking me, like, what are these called? Do they have a lore? What's the story behind them? And it got to be so much that one of my friends was, there's two rogues behind you as you're very distracting.
Oh, interesting for you especially.
Uh-oh. You gotta go talk.
David's gotta go. I'll be right back. talking about a children's book. Anyway, basically, you can cut all that out.
No, we're going to provide visual aids if possible.
It was just funny that there was two rogues.
I know. Yeah.
It wasn't just one rogue. That would have been like, oh, you're a rogue.
Are
two
you
rogues
guys seeing this?
Yeah.
Two rogues over there.
Gambit got to go. anyway, so it kind of, my buddy Josh Keaton, who was on the show, he was the one that was like, you have to make this a book. And I was like, all right. So I messed around with it, and then it took a little while to figure out what is a book based on these little figures, and they're, I knew they were the little spirits of Halloween, but I didn't really know what that meant. That was just kind of a tagline.
Yeah.
And then sort of expanding the lore and making them have purpose took a bit of doing. And then the pandemic hit, and then I had to deal with that and trying to get it published through that, and went through many different publishers trying to get them to understand what it is and how it's vintage and it rhymes, and it was a long, long, long process.
Well, and talking about the text, like, I feel like since you had just a source material, which was literally something you made for fun.
Right.
Why did you choose to make it rhyme? And, like, I feel like you chased, like, a storybook feel to the whole book.
I mean, I was telling Justin before, I pitched a children's book exactly once, and it was a rhyming script.
Right.
And the one big note I got back was, like, maybe don't rhyme.
Yeah. That's what everybody said. Everyone was like, no one wants rhyming books. And I was like, I don't care. I mean, it was hard. There were many times I wanted to just give up because it was so hard to, it's also, there were people that were like, can you make it 200 words instead of 2,100 or whatever it is? And I was like, and I tried that version and I was like, this is really unsatisfying and really boring. And it's just kind of like, here's some little, it just felt empty.
Right.
And I love books like Little Bear or like obviously Dr. Seuss, and the Dr. Seuss books, like, it's the same exact dimensions as a Dr. Seuss book. It's the same page count, roughly the same word count. I wanted it to fit in with that.
That's really cool.
Genre. I don't use the same rhyme scheme at all, but it does. The reason it rhymes is because I'm a masochist.
Yeah, and, I was going to say, that's what I would think.
Yeah, no, I'm an insane person.
Like Justin was saying, it makes it charming. I don't think there's anything wrong with rhyme. It just ups the difficulty level of what
right.
you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it more challenging for me, but also it does open up weird creative opportunities where you're like, wow, I didn't think I wouldn't have come up with that had I not had to rhyme something with a word that you wouldn't expect.
Interesting.
Where did you start for the story itself? Because there was, when you were making the sculptures initially, there wasn't a story around them.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's a pretty, like, it's a deep dive. You get to know the characters. It's not just like, here's these four spoops hanging out.
Yeah, no, there's 16 of them, I think, in there, and that's not even all of them. But, I mean, I had to kind of first establish what are they?
I knew
that they were the little spirits of Halloween, but what does that mean?
Right.
Like, what are all their jobs? What do they do? It's easy to just say that if you're, here's a toy, you know, they're this, and then you can kind of fill in the blanks, but I had to fill in the blanks. And then trying to figure out what's a problem they could solve. Because I could have done the, like, here's this spoop, they do this. Here's this spoop, they do this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it didn't feel like for this kind of book, that would have been very interesting.
Right.
So I just had to find a narrative that I thought would be appealing. And for me, the idea of missing out on Halloween as a kid is a nightmare.
Yeah, right.
So I was, like, just trying to come up with something that was satisfying and an issue they could solve that would also be meaningful. Like, the idea that a little girl's not about to celebrate Halloween, but she wants to. It's her passion, it's obsession, her obsession and her fixation. I was like, all right, I can get behind that. And so trying to create, it was weird because, I mean, the character of Holly just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Even the name Holly Hollowell was kind of a placeholder, to be honest. And I went, that's nice. Like, after a while, I got really used to it. And I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cute. But I just wrote it down really fast and went, sure.
As well, especially for the more poetic choice you made with rhyming and stuff, like, that actually is really sweet.
It has a bounce to it that I wound up appreciating later. But, I spent so much time in other things coming up with character names. And that one, at the time, felt like a placeholder, and I didn't realize. I was like, okay, no, that was Mama was fine out of the gate.
Nailed it.
I did want to mention the impediment between Holly and celebrating Halloween, which is her parents, who are both dentists.
Right.
Why are you anti-dentist?
I'm not anti-dentist, but I couldn't think of a way for a child to not celebrate Halloween that didn't dip into politics or religion or something that wouldn't be as palatable in a children's book. Because I was like, what do I do that would be I gave myself the task of, okay, she's not allowed to celebrate Halloween. The spoofs will help her have a happy Halloween within the parameters of whatever these rules are. Because I didn't want her breaking rules. I wanted her to still be able to have a good time, but not be so rebellious that a parent would read this and go, this kid is me. Yeah. This kid sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't want that.
Handbook for the anarchist child.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. And so basically, I mean, that... it. Led to dentists, which I was just like, who would be against Halloween in some way? I mean, that's kind
true,
of
so true.
And I know there is other media, which it stinks because there was stuff like, what was it, Halloween? There was a video game where a dentist was the enemy, and this is, I'd written this before, like 6 years ago, and I was like, oh no.
We can all get behind hating dentists. I think there's a full audience there.
Have you shown it to any dentists?
Yes. A couple dentists have come up to me at signings and stuff and be like, I'm a dentist.
Yeah, they grab you by
and, and they shake me. Well, my thing is, the parents are obsessed with teeth and oral hygiene in the way that Holly's obsessed with Halloween.
Right.
And they're worried about this thing that they like in some way impeding upon their passion.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the angle that I took, is like, this is their hyperfixation. And her hyperfixation can perhaps infiltrate or be an issue for them.
The safest partisanship on the planet right now is dentist versus candy.
Yeah.
Really nice line.
This is going back a little bit, but while you were talking about the whole Dr. Seuss of it all, it struck me it's not like a one-to-one, but the story is kind of similar to Cat in the Hat in terms of kid trapped inside, forced to not have fun, and magical creatures come and sort of take her out and take her on this adventure. They're happily less destructive, I guess.
Right. Cat in the Hat, like, rips their house apart.
Right.
Yeah.
That was definitely conscious. A conscious thing that I did that I like sort of morality. Like, all Christmas stories always have, like, an emotional arc to them where there's, like, and they all learned a lesson and are better people now, whereas Halloween doesn't really do that.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to parrot that in some ways and do something that felt like a full story where it's like, yeah, we all kind of learned something. And Cat in the Hat, I don't really know if they learn anything, but The Grinch, you obviously do. And The Grinch is one of my favorite books ever. And there's a little bit of all of that that I tried to sprinkle in. It's we're in a world where people love to say things are derivative, and that is by intention in this, where I'm like, yeah, it's derived from the things I'm obsessed with and I love.
Right.
And like, there's little homages to all kinds of things in there that hopefully are not visibly on the surface.
Well, it makes sense because this was derived out of something that you just did for fun. Like,
right.
I feel like the creative lead on this is just like, I don't know, people keep wanting this thing.
It's really wild. I mean, it was so nice to see people, and people still responding to the characters, because it was, I only really make stuff for the child in me and what I want to have. And so the spoofs were created out of, like, this is something that I find appealing. Like, a little pumpkin with a little shroud body was like, I like that. I want that. And so I was just trying to make toys or decorations for myself. And apparently other people clicked with that.
Yeah.
Which, to me, I feel like is one of the more honest ways to create things, is make something that really excites you and instead of this imaginary audience, and hopefully that will excite other people, which is what I try to keep in mind whenever I make a new spoof or a new design, is just, do I like this? Because if I don't like it, I don't, you know.
Are you still making new spoofs?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of sculpting a new one now. They're almost done. But I'm also, because I make the figurines as well, I just ended the listing today because I got overwhelmed. But there was a whole drop that I did last week of all the, of like six different figurines. But it's going to take me like 6 months to a year to finally send those all out. There's more than I was expecting.
So you're sculpting, writing, voice acting.
Yes.
You're approaching Comic-Con activities in a lot of different areas.
I know. I'm trying to exhaust myself as much as possible.
That's wild. I guess you're not adding another one. You're just focusing
another activity,
another like entryway into this world.
I mean, I got to make more spoofs books, I guess. So there's that. I don't know. I just like tinkering. And so when I'm working or when I'm watching TV, I'm not just sitting there idly. I'm always crafting or painting or sculpting something. So to me, that's how I wind down, is by making stuff.
This book is great.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to plug before you go? X-Men season 2.
I got
three.
What did you learn from X-Men season 2? Did they show a trailer?
They plugged you, weirdly.
What?
No,
I think I wasn't actually there.
I don't know anything about it, so. Anything I want to plug? No, check out Spoofs. They got merchandise at Hot Topic.
What if I told you that Gambit showed up in the trailer?
I'd be really excited. I'd be so excited. I'd be like, really? How's my boy?
Say?
What did he say? What did he look like?
Those bastards lied to me.
I know. I'd be really excited. Yeah. What would you ask me? Oh, my plug
your stuff. I interrupted. That was
no,
bad.
It's okay. I don't know. Check out Hot Topics. Spoops has merchandise. They have little keychains and pins and stickers and stuff. And cool. And the book.
Yeah.
It's weird. Once Halloween's over, I feel like it's going to close down. And then I have to wait a couple months, and then it's going to ramp back up.
Yeah, but, you're a seasonal man.
I know, now I'm seasonal.
Congrats.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be doing this.
Thanks, awesome. AJ. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you, man.
Thank you, both you dudes.